Praises here, but God wants all of Israel to bless his name. Amen. So tonight, we're going to offer this one to him, Tel Aviv style.
Hey, friends, we're live on air. Come on.
Tonight, we're...
Contact someone, invite them to tune in. We're here, we're live on Blog Talk Radio, on live stream, and on YouTube, and on Facebook. Come on, church.
Tonight,
Baruch Adonai. Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai. Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Mina Olam, Vatavolam, praise his name forever and again. Mina Olam, Vatavolam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Hey. We're here, church. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will sing, and Israel will sing. Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Father, Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Mina Olam, but Adonai, praise his name forever and again. Mina Olam, but Adonai, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will sing.
My provider, El Shaddai. praising, and Israel will say amen. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will say amen. So let the nations sing and praise him, and Israel will say amen. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will say amen. Elohei Israel, Adonai.
We're here. Come on, church. We're here. All right, we're here, we're live on air, church.
Burn me.
I want to listen to this beautiful one. Listen, we're here, we're live on air. It's 10:32 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's all good. God is good and his mercy endures forever. And I just want to praise Yahweh. I want to praise the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can do it. Oh, wait. There's another one.
Let us sing for joy. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun, the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Let's praise Adonai.
Thank you. yonder in the distance when we worship the Lion of Judah roar. Strongholds crumble all around us in the presence of the Lord.
There is victory in the camp.
At the shout of El Shaddai, every enemy will flee from the fire in his eyes. Every captive will be free in this year of Jubilee when they hear the shout of El Shaddai. Can you hear it? Thunder in the distance when we worship the Lion of Judah roar. Strongholds crumble all around us in the presence of our Lord. There'll be victory in the camp. At the shout of El Shaddai, every enemy will flee from the fire in his eyes. Every captive will be free in this year of Jubilee, when they hear the shout of El Shaddai. In your name, powers of darkness tremble, Jericho tumbles to the ground. In your name, Jesus' death are broken chains.
By the name and the blood,
every wall must fall, every knee bow down. In your name,
every country broken,
sin and death are underneath your feet. In your name, we will bow before you. Every tongue and every tribe will sing.
We have overcome by the name and the blood of the Lamb of God. Every wall must fall, every knee bow down. To the Lord of all, there'll be victory in the camp.
At the shout of El Shaddai, every enemy will flee from the fire in his eyes. Every captive will be free in this year of Jubilee when they hear the shout of El Shaddai. When they hear the shout of El Shaddai, when they hear the shout of El Shaddai. Can you hear it? Thunder in the distance when we worship the Lion of Judah roar. Strongholds crumble all around us at the presence of our Lord.
We're here. What a great time to just take a moment to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And just know that he's real. He loves us very much. And it's his perfect love that casts out all fear. Just know that the Lord is with us and he blesses us with a holy blessing. He calls us with a holy calling. And no evil shall befall us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling, for God has his angels to keep charge over us, to keep us in all of our ways. In their hands they shall bear us up, lest we dash our foot up against the stone. This is the promise of God. I'd like to read to you Psalm chapter 91. Go with me very quickly before I get into some headlines. Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91, please. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 says the following: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful portion of scripture. You know, the Lord has such promises and plans for us. The Bible tells us that his loving kindness is to be declared every morning and his faithfulness to be declared every night. The Bible tells us that our horn has been exalted by the power of God. The psalmist David said, "My horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." I give God praise. Psalm chapter 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. And the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts have delighted my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is a powerful portion of scripture. Such a beautiful time of worship. We get to worship. Psalm chapter 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the sheep, we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, how awesome. What a beautiful portion of scripture. Well, let's talk about some headlines. Come on. Let's talk about some breaking world news headlines, matching Bible prophecy. This report coming from endtimeheadlines.org says the Yellowstone volcano has been showing huge amounts of signs of activity in the past few weeks with a staggering 81 earthquakes shaking the national park. Most of the tremors have been relatively small, with the largest registering as a 2 on the Richter scale. But some experts warn that sometimes the size of an earthquake or size of earthquakes is irrelevant. But the quantity of them could be more of a forewarning, Portland State University geology professor Emeritus Scott Burns has said a spate of small tremors around a volcano usually signifies that magma and gases beneath the surface are beginning to navigate their exit. He said if you get storms under a working volcano, the working hypothesis is that magma is moving up underneath there. However, others disagree about whether an earthquake swarm near a volcano could be a sign of things to come. Jaime Farrell at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City believes this is just part of the natural cycle for Yellowstone volcano, saying earthquake swarms are fairly common in Yellowstone. It goes on to say the following. There is no indication that the storm is related to magma moving through the shallow crust. If the Wyoming volcano were to erupt, an estimated 87,000 people would be killed immediately, and 2/3 of the USA would immediately be made uninhabitable. The large spew of ash into the atmosphere would block out sunlight and directly affect life beneath it, creating a nuclear winter. The massive eruption could be a staggering 6,000 times as powerful as the one from Washington's Mount St. Helens in 1980, which killed 57 people and deposited ash in 11 different states and 5 Canadian provinces. If the volcano explodes, a climate shift would ensue as a volcano would spew massive amounts of sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere, which can form a sulfur aerosol that reflects and absorbs sunlight. So there it is, folks. Very interesting concerning Yellowstone. Yellowstone volcano about to erupt. Again, National Park rocked by 81 earthquakes. What does the Bible have to say about Yellowstone? I want to know. What does it have to say? Does it have to say anything? Well, let's talk about it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says the following. Actually, let's take that out for a moment. Let me look at something else here. Revelation chapter 16, verse 18 through 20 says the following, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And that's what we want to avoid. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 says the following: when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says the following: and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 through 25 says, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences in various places. I want to read a particular information concerning Yellowstone that was reported from BreakingIsraelNews.com. This was about a couple of years ago, but they have a very interesting article, and it says the following: end of days, Yellowstone volcano prophesied in Zechariah. Prophesied in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9 says the following: and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Hashem is my God. Experts are concerned that recent signs of increased seismic activity in Yellowstone's National Park could be the prelude to a massive eruption that, even by conservative estimates, would have global implications, including nationwide food shortages. A Jerusalem Kabbalist explains how this was prophesied in the Bible to be a painful but necessary part of the messianic process. One of the Yellowstone Park's more impressive sites, a 40-mile-wide caldera crater, is a grim reminder of the potential for massive destruction that lies beneath the scenic beauty in the heartland of America. Supervolcanoes are so explosive that rather than leave a normal volcanic cone, they create a massive hole. Yellowstone is a 3,500-square-mile crater created 630,000 years ago when 240 cubic miles of debris were blasted into the air, fueled by a pressurized reservoir of magma under the park. Signs of seismic unrest are beginning to appear. 1 month ago, the nearby Shoshone River suddenly started boiling. The water changed color and began to emote a sulfuric odor, a sure sign of seismic activity that hasn't been seen in the river for over 200 years. This was followed by increased volcanic rumblings, and though small tremors are common, Yellowstone was struck by a series of relatively large tremors. On June 9th, a magnitude 3.7 earthquake hit the region. On June 13th, there was a magnitude 4.3 earthquake. And on June 15th, an earthquake with a magnitude of 4.0. Though most people associate seismic calamity with California and the Pacific Crescent of Fire, Yellowstone sits on what scientists consider the single most dangerous volcanic site in the world. A major eruption at Yellowstone would bring on global disaster. The chance of such an eruption happening at one of the major volcanoes within 80 years is put at 5 to 10% by the experts, and Yellowstone could very well be it. Underneath Yellowstone lies a reservoir of magma more than twice the size previously thought. A U.S. Geological Survey study in 2014 discovered that the lava reservoir is enormous. It's 55 miles by 20 miles on each side and about 6 miles deep. This is as full as it was when it erupted in prehistoric times. A supervolcano at Yellowstone has the potential to spew more than 240 cubic miles of magma across Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, more than 1,100 times the magma that flowed from Mount St. Helens in 1980, killing 57 people. Experts estimate that a Yellowstone eruption would kill 87,000 people immediately. A catastrophic eruption in Yellowstone would immediately threaten people in the heartland of America, but the more devastating effects would be felt across the entire country and perhaps even the world. A layer of ash would cover the entire U.S. and southern Canada, causing damage and preventing air travel. Europe experienced this in 2010 when relatively small eruptions at, oh dear, here's a name for me, or a name of the volcano here. It's called Eyjafjallajökull Island, or Iceland, led to 20 countries closing their airspace to commercial jet traffic, affecting about 10 million travelers. But an eruption at Yellowstone would be more than an inconvenience for vacationers and herds of bison. In a study concluded last year, researchers from the University of Utah called the magma reservoir under Yellowstone National Park one of the planet's biggest time bombs. They noted that the chances of a catastrophic eruption at this time are small, but when it does blow, it probably will change the world. They predicted that the effect of an eruption would dwarf any natural disaster to date, similar to nuclear winter, but on a much greater scale. The study noted that these types of events have been known to touch off ice ages. If another large caldera-forming eruption were to occur at Yellowstone, its effects would be worldwide. It would drastically shift the world's climate, said researcher Sin Hua Huang. After a rash of earthquakes in April, Rabbi Yitzchak Batri, a known Kabbalist from Jerusalem, told Breaking Israel News that this was prophesied in Psalms for the end of days. Psalm chapter 104, verse 32 says the following, "Who looketh on the earth, and it trembleth, he toucheth the mountains, and they smoke." This describes what will happen in the end of days before the final redemption. According to Rabbi Batri, he said there will be an earthquake in Israel, but it will be beneficial, opening up the Temple Mount, bringing forth living waters, purifying the city to receive the Messiah. When asked about the seismic activity in Yellowstone, the rabbi explained that in the book of Zechariah, it is prophesied that two-thirds of the world will be destroyed by fire in the end of days. And it says the following, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Hashem is my God." The entire world will see earthquakes and eruptions, and says, in the end of days. The rabbi explained, it will purify the nation of Israel, just as mikveh, pool of waters, purifies. But for the rest of the world, it will purify by fire, like a crucible. And that sounds very familiar. I actually talked about that in one of my conferences. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so that is the one headline. I am very excited. Thank you, Lord. Very interesting. Let's see what other earthquakes we have, or other reports here on earthquakes. Now, this is very interesting. Richard Dreyfuss says a very interesting comment is reported at the Hollywood Reporter. He said, as the Close Encounter star communes with space once more in the upcoming Astronaut, he addresses Earthbound issues like growing intolerance, the 2020 election, and his family's own entanglement with Kevin Spacey in the hashtag MeToo. There was a 10-year window in which Richard Dreyfuss was the biggest movie star on the planet. It was perhaps an unlikely turn of events for a 5'5" balding Jewish guy from Los Angeles by way of Brooklyn. But something about his wry smile and dogged intensity charm a young Steven Spielberg, who put him in two of the most important movies of all time, 1975 Jaws and 1977's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Dreyfuss also won an Academy Award that year, starring opposite Marsha Mason in The Goodbye Girl. The years that followed saw ups and downs career-wise. Comedies were consistently kind to him, but it goes on to say along the way he'd been very open about his battles, and apparently he had some battles. But there was one particular, it doesn't really say much. I was going to say more. Anyway, just a headline that doesn't say much about the articles. Again, maybe it's us who are the aliens. I mean, you know, can I tell you what the Bible has to say. I didn't look that up. Hold on. I apologize. Okay, so this is what the Bible has to say. Again, with regards to the article that Richard Dreyfuss was in, maybe it's us who are the aliens, talking about human beings. First of all, we have to understand as human beings that we are made in the image of God. God is the creator of all mankind. God is the one who makes the breath. He is the breath of life. We can read what the Bible says, the holy word of God, the holy scriptures, the holy Bible, what I have here. It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 that talks about in the beginning, in the beginning God. Okay? This is not hard. It says the following here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Again, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Again, we're made in the image of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Now, we understand, again, we're made in the image of God. But are we aliens? In a sense, we kind of are. And I'm going to read to you a couple of portions of scripture here. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 10 says, let strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. Now, that does not mean that we are aliens as in extraterrestrial. But we, again, we are made in the image of God, but we are sojourners on this planet. As a matter of fact, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33, verse 34 says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9 says, you shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 22 through 23 says, you shall allot it as an inheritance to yourselves and for sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel, and whatever tribe the sojourner resides, there you shall assign him his inheritance, declares the Lord our God. Let me read Psalm chapter 119, verse 19. It says the following, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Amen. Very well, very good, very, very well. Let's see what other headlines, what other reports we have here. Wow. Let me read this report. Very interesting report. Oh, gosh. It says here, according to independent.com, it says her lost Whitney Houston track remixed and released 7 years after her death. How very interesting. That's her lost Whitney Houston track, recorded in 1990, has been remixed by the music producer Kygo and given an official release, making it the first archival Houston music to be released since her death in 2012. Higher Love, a cover of the 1986 Steve Winwood pop anthem, reflects Houston at her vocal prime, with Kygo's mixing providing it a glossy, contemporary, and danceable sheen. Houston's vocals on the track were originally recorded for her third album, I'm Your Baby Tonight, until she decided to shift into a more R&B direction. Her original cover of Higher Love was subsequently only released as a bonus track on the Japanese version of the album. She also only ever performed it live during a month-long concert tour in the country in 1990. Houston's sister-in-law, Pat, currently the sole executor of her estate, told Rolling Stone that the track serves as a timely reminder of goodness in the world. The current cultural environment has been thirsty for something uplifting and inspiring. Who better to inspire than Whitney, the most exhilarating vocalist of all time? Beyond the Grave, how interesting. A lot of these singers who've gone home have recordings or just maybe some lyrics that are coming to surface. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. Maybe it's a type of worship to our Lord, to our Savior, Jesus Christ, because Whitney Houston died as a believer in Christ. So what a way to honor him after she has gone home. That's pretty neat. That's quite fascinating. I think it's pretty cool. Let's see what other reports we have here. You know, I haven't said hi to any of you guys. Let me go and check you guys out here on YouTube Church Chat. Carmine says, Anita, do you believe in pre-tribulation rapture? I know that the rapture is biblical according to the word of God. It talks about the harpazo. But for it to be before tribulation, it is not biblical. Jesus himself tells us several portions of scripture concerning the times of the end. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. I'll share with you a couple of portions of scripture here. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 says immediately, this is verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. There's another portion of scripture here. The Gospel of Mark chapter 13, verse 24 says, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. There's another portion of scripture. Concerning Revelation, thank you. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 says the following: I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Give me a moment. Thank you. So with that being said, we have more headlines. You know, this technology, some of it's just really out of hand. Alexa, some of you guys own Alexa. I don't. I'm not interested in any of that anyway. But it says here, Amazon's Alexa started calling man a, I guess they started swearing at him, you know, derogatory after he canceled his Amazon Prime subscription. It says here, Michael Slade, 29, was shocked to hear his Amazon Echo Dot call him the rude name a day after he had canceled his Prime subscription. After coming home and asking the personal assistant to play some music, he got the reply, sure, here's your playlist, head on Amazon Music, and then he says, sorry, something went wrong. Although the voice assistant bleeped out the swear word, shocked Michael from Quambran, he says, I could not believe it. He says, I tried to cancel my subscription and had a short conversation with someone in customer services, and the next day my Alexa's calling me names. He says, I've spoken to technical support, and they never heard of this happening before. The online business owner said he's never set up a playlist on Amazon Music and has no idea why it's playing up. After contacting Amazon, they sent him a gift voucher to compensate him. He said the technical team couldn't believe it. They kept saying sorry, but they didn't know what had happened. It's the technology. How is it swearing? How is it talking back? We are supposed to be lording over it, right? Something is amiss. Could just be a glitch, and hopefully it is. Hopefully it is. Hopefully it's nothing weird. We know that we're living in some interesting times. The Bible tells us in Daniel, as a matter of fact, I'll read you a portion of scripture. In Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 says the following: and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Amazing. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers could not declare to the king." So quite a portion of scripture is quite nice. The Dow Jones economy of the United States. Let's look at this for a moment. According to MarketWatch, it says here the Dow just logged its best June return in more than 80 years. U.S. stock benchmarks have mostly enjoyed a healthy run-up on the back of the Federal Reserve's easier monetary policy stance and hope for a China-U.S. trade pact. Recent gains have helped the Dow Jones Industrial Average DJIA plus 0.28% to ring up its best June gain of 7.2% since 1938, when the blue chip benchmark surged an eye-popping 24.3% on the month, according to Dow Jones market data. The S&P 500 index, SPX, 0.58% notched its best June return with a gain of about 6.9% since 1955, when the broad market benchmark rose 8.2%, while the NASDAQ composite index 0.48% was on track for a 6.9% return in June. Anyway, it says here Wall Street has been pricing in as many as 3 rate reductions in 2019, according to the CME Group data tracking federal funds futures. Stocks can rise in an environment of falling benchmark interest rates because it translates to comparatively cheaper borrowing costs for individuals and corporations. Still, a rate cut could also signal a more bearish turn in central bankers' reading of the economic environment, which could eventually hurt investor sentiment. Gains for stocks also come as bond yields across the globe have been mostly rallying, driving their yields, which move in the opposite direction, solidly lower. Bond prices don't usually rise while stocks are climbing because bonds are perceived as asset investors flee to during times of uncertainty, while equities rise when appetite for risky assets rise. Back in 1938, the U.S. economy faced a slump as the recovery from the Great Depression stalled until Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his second term, got a $3.75 billion spending program approved by Congress in the spring of that year to help stimulate sluggish expansion, increasing deficit spending. The move, at least in part, helped to jolt blue chips as fiscal stimulus measures were used to combat unemployment, which hit 19% in June of 1938 as manufacturing activity weakened. This time around, however, U.S. unemployment stands at 3.6%, even if the May report with 75,000 jobs created fell far short of expectations for a gain of 185,000 on the month. So there you have it, folks. What does the Bible have to say about the economy? You know, right now we know that the economy has been looking fairly well for the most part. Will there be an economic collapse, right? We pray that it's not. What I like to go to at times, Brother Michael Schneider's website, called the Economic Collapse blog, and see what he has to say at times. And he has quite a few articles here. It says, hardworking Americans sure do see the economy a lot differently than the experts do. Another report says, the pain of this new economic downturn is starting to show up all over the country. Conditions on the street of San Francisco are comparable to the slums of Mumbai, Delhi, Mexico City, Jakarta, and Manila. Shocking before and after photos reveal the truth about the widespread crop failures the U.S. is facing in 2019. Also, President Trump, please find a way to stop World War III from erupting in the Middle East. I'm not sure what he can do. Well, he can probably do quite a bit. Let me read this report here. It says here, President Trump, please find a way to stop World War III from erupting in the Middle East. says here, the moment that I heard that a U.S. Navy high-altitude drone had been blown out of the sky by Iran, I realized that a very important threshold had just been crossed. We now find ourselves on the brink of World War III, and one wrong move could unleash death and destruction on a scale that most of us don't even want to think about. We have reached one of the most critical junctures in modern American history, and the key decisions will be made by just one man. Such here, when Donald Trump initially ran for president, he promised to stop the endless wars in the Middle East. But now we are potentially facing the biggest one of them all. More than 80 million people live in Iran. They have a highly sophisticated military. They have been preparing for a military confrontation with the West for a very long time. When the media asked President Trump about a possible military response to the drone being shot down, Trump responded by telling the assembled reporters, "You'll soon find out." The following comes from a USA Today article entitled, "A U.S. Attack Could Be Imminent After Iranians Shoot Down Drone Over International Waters." Hours after Iran announced it had shot down a U.S. drone, President Trump told journalists at the White House, "You'll soon find out if the U.S. is planning a strike on Iran in retaliation." He says they're going to find out what they made a very big mistake, or they're going to find out they made a very big mistake, Trump added in comments that came as he met with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Needless to say, those words have led many to speculate that military action against Iran could come very quickly. In addition, it is being reported that military officials gathered at the White House on Thursday to discuss various military options. Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan huddled Thursday with national security officials at the White House to discuss military options, including an attack on the site that launched the missile that destroyed the unmanned surveillance aircraft. According to a defense official familiar with the discussions but not authorized to speak about them publicly. Another sign that things were taking a very serious turn is the fact that top congressional leaders were summoned to the White House Situation Room for a briefing on Thursday afternoon. The White House is inviting congressional leaders to a Situation Room briefing on Iran on Thursday afternoon, according to three people familiar with the matter: Trump, Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy are all expected to attend that meeting, as are the Armed Service Committee and Intelligence Committee chairmen and ranking members, though Senator Mark Warner, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, will be unable to appear. Rank-and-file members received their own briefing earlier on Thursday. These sorts of briefings for top congressional leaders don't happen very often, and I would love to know what they were told. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton have been pushing for a military confrontation with Iran for a very long time, and now they may get their wish. So let's talk about what that could look like. President Trump could ultimately opt for a very limited strike against a missile site that shot down the drone. At that point, the Iranians would have a decision to make. In response to the Iranians could decide to sink the ships that launched the attack on their missile site. Most Americans don't realize this, but the truth is that our ships that are sitting in the Persian Gulf right now are sitting ducks. Sunburn missiles are perhaps the most lethal anti-ship missiles on the entire planet, and the Iranians have stockpiled a large quantity of them over the years. If the order is given, we will see destroyed U.S. warships sinking in the Persian Gulf on national television. So how loud will the cry for war become if that happens? Needless to say, the U.S. would hit back extremely hard, and that would almost certainly include strikes against Iran's nuclear program. Even before our drone was shot down, U.S. officials were reportedly considering a plan to strike Iranian nuclear facilities. The following comes from the Jerusalem Post. According to the officials, since Friday, the White House has been holding incessant discussions involving senior military commanders, Pentagon representatives, and advisors to President Donald Trump. The military action under consideration would be an aerial bombardment of the Iranian facility linked to its nuclear program, the officials further claimed. The bombing will be massive, but will be limited to a specific target, according to a Western diplomat. Of course, that would absolutely infuriate the Iranians, and they could respond by launching thousands of missiles at Israel and other strategic targets in the region. Israel would respond by launching thousands of missile back, and U.S. news channels would be full of talk about the need to invade Iran. Once Iranian leadership saw that invasion was imminent, they would use everything at their disposal in a desperate attempt to ensure their survival. Thank you. I know that I discussed this in a previous article, but it bears repeating. There are many that are absolutely convinced that Iran currently has nukes and would not be afraid to use them if necessary. Back in 2016, former CIA Director R. James Woosley co-authored an article along with four other former U.S. officials in which they had unequivocally stated that they have believed that Iran probably already has nuclear weapons. We assess from United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency reports and other sources that Iran probably already has nuclear weapons. Over 13 years ago, prior to 2003, Iran was manufacturing nuclear weapon components like bridge wire detonators and neutron initiators, performing non-fissile explosive experiments of an implosion nuclear device, and working on the design of a nuclear warhead for the Shahab-3 missile. 13 years ago, Iran was already a threshold nuclear missile state. It is implausible that Iran suspended its program for over a decade for a nuclear deal with President Obama. Iran probably has nuclear warheads for the Shahab-3 medium-range missile, which they tested for making EMP attacks. Two recent tests violate UN agreements demonstrating that Iran is brazenly developing its nuclear-capable missiles. Iran already has the largest medium-range ballistic missile force in the Middle East. So when we are talking about a war with Iran, we are talking about the possibility of a nuclear war. The stakes are exceedingly high, and one wrong decision by President Trump could set off a sequence of events which would lead to a nuclear holocaust in the Middle East in which millions could die. This is their report, not mine. As such, we do not want a war with Iran. It would not go well for America at all. We are already living in apocalyptic times, and a war with Iran would greatly accelerate things. President Trump can be a hero by stopping this war from happening, but if he takes the advice of the war hawk that he has surrounded himself with, we could be about to enter a nightmare from which we will never escape. And that is from the Economic Collapse blog, Brother Michael Schneider, as always giving us, just putting out their very very, very interesting reporting, well-needed reporting, actually, concerning the times that we're living in. It's part of the signs of the times. You know, this is what we do as watchmen on the wall, and clearly he is one along with his missus. And anyway, listen, folks, we are living in times that could be very explosive, things that we can do our best to avoid. We pray for the leaders, we pray for the nations. We pray for those who are in power, who make decisions that require wisdom to ensure that nothing premature happens, or to ensure that nothing happens that could be avoided. And so I like this. Again, it says here, President Trump, please find a way to stop World War III from erupting in the Middle East. But I think that's not really Trump's position. The Middle East has their own sovereignty. They have their own, it's a kingdom system in various parts of the Middle East. So I think this is something that the Republic may need to abstain themselves from. At the same time, being a Christian nation, we have a right to pray for, the nations. And we know that the Bible says kingdom will rise up against kingdom and nation will rise against nation. And so, we ensure that as a church, we know our position to try to maintain peace as best as we can in prayer, in prayers and in fastings. And of course, our God is the sovereign God, the creator of all mankind. He is not a man, okay? The creator of all mankind is the one who made heaven and earth. And so, but we have been given a charge in the times that we're living in as sons of God, as children of God, as a church, as a body of Christ, as those who have claimed Jesus Christ of Nazareth as Lord. And, we understand that we have our position here. And to pray and fast and just seek the Lord's face and turn, do our best to have the wrath of God either delayed or abstained in the times that we're living in. It's very important, very serious. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say hi to several of you. Sister Stacy says, God bless you, evangelist. God bless you, my friend. Renea says, have your house ready. Don't get caught like the foolish virgins who ran out of oil. Be ready, for the time of the Lord is at hand. Yes, it is a late stream. It's okay, brother. Renea says, Matthew chapter 24 is an amazing word direct from our Father, and our family studied it for a solid 2 months, but off and on for a year. Brother Tom says, preach something that Jesus said to preach, the message of the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing. As watching on the wall, we're preaching about the times we're living in. He says, what I tell you, I tell all, watch. These are the signs of the times, and this is what we're talking about. Sister Wood says, oh, well, there's a conversation going on. I don't want to. Let's see what other reports we have here. Guess there's a major heat wave happening in Europe. It says here the heat wave in Europe is so intense that a weather map of France looks like a screaming heat skull of death. Yikes. It says here the intense heat wave blasting Europe with record-breaking temperatures manifested on a recent weather forecast as a screaming heat skull of death looming over France. A forecast map for Thursday, first created June 20th, showed France's scorching temperatures creating a giant screaming face over the country as the country braced itself for the hottest temperatures since a 2003 heat wave killed 15,000 people in the country. A French meteorologist named Ruben Halali first spotted the map, and he shared it on Twitter alongside Edvard Munch's painting, The Scream. He said he had never seen anything like that image or like the image in 15 years of looking at maps of heat waves. The map was published by the French website Meteo Caille, which uses different forecasts to generate visualizations of the weather. A Meteo Caille spokesman told CNN that the map was generated from the U.S. global forecast system and that its distinctive form happened by chance. Tomb of Queen Helena of Ariabini to be open to the public. What is believed by many to be the Tomb of Queen Helena of Ariabini, or as it is otherwise referred to, the Tomb of the Kings, will be reopened to the public for the first time since 2010, according to LaCroix. The burial site is situated approximately 800 yards north of the old city. The property is owned by the French government. It was closed for renovations, but will now be reopened following construction upgrades that cost around 1 million euro. The archaeological site is a 2,000-year-old Roman structure. Its reopening is a long-standing decision, according to a spokeswoman for the Consulate General stated. They said, and I quote, it was the objective of the very important work to secure the site for the public. The tomb will be open Tuesday and Thursday mornings upon reservation. Visitors will be charged a fee and are limited groups of 15 people. Israeli Foreign Minister Yisrael Katz welcomed the decision that he said required complicated negotiations. He called on the general public to visit places of great significance to the Jewish people and offer further testimony to the deep and multi-generational bond between the Jewish people and its eternal capital, Jerusalem. He stated, lauding its great religious and national significance. Very interesting that they found a tomb of Queen Helena of Ariabini to be open to the public. I like what Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says, though. It says, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, I have another scripture I'd like to read to you. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. Let me read it to you all. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, starting in verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, says the following. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful and outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. But on you may come all of the righteous bloodshed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very powerful portion of scripture. Again, Tomb of Queen Helena of Ariabin, to be open to the public. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Amazing. Times we're living in, my friends. Folks, I'm telling you, the day of the Lord is at hand. He loves us with a perfect love. He heals us with a perfect healing. He saves us with a perfect saving. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of us. Thank you. And he ministers his Holy Spirit to us. Excuse me. I better start ending the broadcast, but I want to say thank you so much for tuning into today's Open Your Eyes People broadcast, or this evening's. It's 11:49 p.m. Central Standard Time. But get more information about who we are and what we do on our website at www.openyoureyespeople.com, www.openyoureyespeople.com, or our mailing address is P.O. Box 218, Schertz, Texas, 78154. I want to ask that you help support the work of this End Time Ministry. Your donations help make the work of this ministry possible. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. We bless you, and we just give God praise for each and every one of you. Have a wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen.